Judges chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines. And they burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and olives. Hallelujah. Can you turn with me real quick? We'll take one more scripture and we'll get into the word. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I need this scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 28, just these two verses. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 49, or verse 29 rather, is where I want to focus our attention today. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today, God, for the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, that you are a consuming fire. Lord, have your way in this service today, Lord. God, I thank you for the word of God. Let your word come forth with power and authority. God, touch your people, touch our hearts, our minds, transform us. We want to be like Jesus. Yes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I came to this pulpit today, I came with a word in my spirit. And to tell the truth, it's not just a word. It's more of a compulsion. It's something stirring in me and pushing me. And I feel the Holy Ghost telling me and compelling me to tell you that God is tired of being thrown bits and pieces of our lives. He's tired of us turning over to Him what we're willing to live without and reserving other parts for ourselves. I'm trying to be nice about it today. Don't want to offend anybody, but I got to tell you this. There's a spirit in this age that I'm confronting. It's a lying spirit. It's a seducing spirit. It's a spirit that is offensive to the Holy Spirit. And I'm here today not to rebuke you. I'm here to rebuke that spirit.
Yes, amen.
That spirit that offers to God scraps. That spirit that offers to God leftovers. That spirit that offers to God what we're willing to do without. I'm here to rebuke that spirit today. And I have to say that we have, and when I say we have, I mean pulpit pastors, ministers of the gospel. We have, and maybe not intentionally in many cases, but we have mistakenly led people to believe that God is just standing at the door of our hearts, just waiting for us to throw Him some scraps of our lives while we keep the best parts for ourselves. And that God will just be satisfied with any scrap or portion that we throw to Him. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not true. Look at your neighbor, tell him it's not true. I'm going to tell you by the inspiration and the unction of the Holy Ghost, God is not interested in scraps or leftovers that you toss His way. I'm not talking about somebody that says, Brother, I wasted my life in sin and I've done this, but now at this elderly age I've come to the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I understand that. I'm talking about people that are sitting in the churches, that are comfortable in the church, and that they're just tossing to God little scraps and pieces, but they want to hold on to the best part for themselves. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about not just being comfortable. I'm talking about being consumed. I'm talking about not just being comfortable, but being consumed. God is not interested in scraps or leftovers that we toss His way. God wants your best. He wants your mind. He wants your strength. He wants your heart. He wants your body. He wants it all. My friend, He paid for it with the blood of His own Son. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own, but you are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, this is God's property.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, you can't touch this. It's God's property. It's God's property. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you, God wants everything.
Amen.
Our God is a consuming fire. Everybody say consuming.
Consuming.
Say not comfort.
Not comfort.
Consumed.
Consumed.
Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. It says this, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. That scripture tells us there are four things that can never be satisfied. Their appetite can never be satisfied. They're always reaching. Number one is the grave. It's always reaching. It's never satisfied. It'll never say, I'm full now. The childless womb is always reaching. The dry and the thirsty ground is always reaching. The fire. But for the sake of the message today, I want to focus on the fire. The Bible tells us that the fire is never satisfied. It has an unquenchable appetite. It never gets full and says, I've had enough. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Our God is a consuming fire. That means God is never finished. He never reaches a point in your life where He says, you're holy enough. Where He says, you're spiritual enough. Where He says, you're disciplined enough. Where He says, you're cleansed enough. You're purified enough. You're anointed enough. You're on fire enough. So my fire is finished in your life. No, my friend, it will never happen because it is never enough.
Amen.
Tell somebody, never enough.
Never enough.
Say, it's never enough.
Never enough.
Say, God is more concerned about consuming you than you being comfortable. Now listen, I want you to understand something. The problem is today, we are raising in the church a generation of believers whose only concern is to be comfortable while they wait for the rapture bus. But God has more in mind for you and I than just to be comfortable. He wants to consume us.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
God's determination for your life and for mine is not just to touch us, not just to bless us, not just to meet our needs, but to consume us with His fire. Everybody say, consuming fire.
Consuming.
Now that word consume, it means to devour everything, to eat up, to swallow up, to burn up completely. Hebrews 1 and 7 said, of the angels, He said, who maketh His angels spirit and His ministers a flame of fire. Oh, everybody say, flames of fire. Now I want you to lift your hands right now and say, Lord, set me on fire. Set me on fire. What does that mean? That means we're supposed to be so consumed, we're supposed to be so impregnated by the fire of God that we carry the fire, that we're able to impart that same fire to others. Smith Wigglesworth said, God intends that every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means if you touch a live wire, you're going to get shocked. Hallelujah. That means if you touch a live wire, there's a current running through that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's a current running through that wire. Hallelujah. I want to try to make this clear today. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is more than just speaking in tongues. If the baptism of the Holy Ghost is anything, it is a baptism of power.
Yeah.
That word power is translated from the Greek word dunamis. It means strength, ability, power for performing miracles, miraculous power. Jesus himself is the one who said in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power. Oh, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive what?
Power.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then the Bible says, Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying every miracle, every healing, every deliverance that Jesus did, every demon he cast out was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say power. Say the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you something. That's the same Holy Ghost that lives in us. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, same Holy Ghost.
Same Holy Ghost.
I want you to understand something. That's the same Holy Ghost that lives in us. Not a scaled down version for 2015. Not a starter pack Holy Ghost. Not the baby Holy Ghost. But the... I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm talking about the same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. That's the same Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you. Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if that Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal earthly body by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. I'm talking about the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. I'm talking about the same power that Jesus used when he cast out the devils, when he healed the lepers, when he cleansed the lepers, when he raised the dead. It's the same power. Say, same Holy Ghost. Now watch this. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A minister and steward are basically the same thing. They mean to manage and oversee the goods of another, to be responsible for distributing to and serving the needs of others. God has made us stewards and ministers of his fire. We are not just to be on fire for him. Oh, Rashaya. Yes, Holy Ghost. But we are to be distribution centers from which his fire is released and distributed. Remember, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world. Yes, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to get to me, Pastor? I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, God wants us, he wants you to be so on fire for him that anyone that gets near you catches on fire. Hallelujah. He wants you to be so on fire for him that anybody that gets close to you catches fire. Hallelujah. 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 I remember one time I was a kid and we were playing hide and seek and I was having fun. Man, we were running and we were running to go hide and had my brother counting and I was hiding and I ran around the trailer and the crank was out there, was sticking out, and I ran by and when I grabbed it, I got shocked, man. I guess that thing wasn't grounded. The trailer wasn't grounded. And I got shocked and it just like literally the voltage went through me. But when it did, I was in a run, so I came loose. I was like, whoosh, I came loose. And I thought, whoa, I got an idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I went and got my brother. Amen. My brother was quite a bit younger than me. And I brought my little brother over there. And I said, brother, I said, why don't you just go ahead and give that handle a crank right there? Just give it a little crank right there. He said, what for? I said, well, we need to lift that trailer up a little bit. And so my little brother, he grabbed a hold of that. He got a hold of that crank.
Praise God.
And when he got a hold of it, he went, oh, oh.
then I start feeling bad. I say, Greg, turn it loose. Turn it loose. He said, I can't. He said, I can't. I can't turn it loose. I said, just release that chain. I can't. He won't let me. And so he's holding on to that. And he's trying to turn it loose. And he can't get loose. And so then I grab a hold of him. And it's like, woo. And then somebody got behind me and they're grabbing me and everybody, but I was like, what are we going to do? We're all getting shocked. Anybody that touches him gets shocked. And he says, what are we going to do? And so I looked around and I found an old inner tube and I grabbed that inner tube and I threw it around his neck and around his body and I jerked him off of that thing. Why did he get shocked? Because there was a current. There was energy, there was power that was running through that thing. And I want you to know the Holy Ghost is real. I want you to know the Holy Ghost is power. It's not just an idea. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a theology. He's a person. He's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's the same Spirit that caused 2,000 demons to leave a man's body. That's the same Spirit that resides on the inside of you and me. No wonder I jump sometimes. No wonder I run sometimes. No wonder I start talking in tongues sometimes. I got an anointing on the inside of me. I got fire on the inside of me. It's like fire shut up in my bones.
Everybody say fire.
Fire.
It's always been a symbol of the presence and power of God. Always. Exodus 40 and 38. Says, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys for 40 years. The fire of God led the way to the children of Israel. Now let me talk to you about this fire for just a few minutes. There's a threefold operation of the fire of God concerning our lives. Number one, it's to you. First of all, it's to you. Number two is in you. Number three is through you. In you, to you, in you, through you. Follows that process always. Anyone can see the fire. It's number one. But it's not the fire that you see that changes your life. It's the fire you receive that changes your life. I could tell my brother about that current all I wanted to. But since he got a hold of it, he knows. Because he experienced what I experienced. See, it's the fire that you receive that changes your life. It's the opening of your heart to the inward sanctifying, cleansing, purging fire of God's presence that makes you a vessel fit to carry the anointing and the fire of God's presence. It's not what we say about God that changes lives. It's the quantity and quality of the presence and the character of God that is manifested through us that changes lives. And let me make it simple. Let me say it another way. You have to be infected before you can infect someone else. Now, that may be a crude way of saying it, but it's simple. You can talk about a virus or disease, how contagious it is, but unless you're infected by it, there's no danger of the person hearing you being infected either. It's the same with the fire of God. Oh, hallelujah. You can talk about it all you want, but if you're not infected by it, if you're not impacted by it, if it's not dwelling in you and flowing through you, then it's not going to infect or affect or influence or impact anybody else. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Everybody say power.
Power.
Now here, listen. The fire of God wants to come into your life and make you ministers of fire. The Bible says in Isaiah 4 and 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, that's fire. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. First, it's the fire to you. You've got to see it. You've got to experience it. You've got to see an expression of it. Second, it's the fire in you, working in you, purging you, cleansing you, sanctifying, burning up the clutter, burning up the excesses, the selfishness, sin, habits, addictions, attitudes. And then, oh, hallelujah. Somebody say then.
Then.
Say then comes the fire.
Then comes the fire.
Say then comes the power.
Then
it's the fire through you. You become a cleansed, purified vessel that the fire can flow through to others. There's a good number of people who don't mind being touched by fire as long as it's containable or controllable. As long as they can determine its heat and intensity. As long as they can draw the lines where the fire goes in their life and where it doesn't go. As long as they can reserve for themselves certain areas of their lives. But God, oh, I need you to lift your hands for just a minute. I need your help, Holy Ghost. God, we want to receive. We want to receive. But listen, my friend. God laid this on my heart yesterday. God doesn't want you in bits and pieces that you offer Him at your convenience. He wants everything. God will never be satisfied just to touch you. He wants to consume you, body, mind, soul, spirit. He wants everything. He wants to possess you. Oh, hallelujah. Some people are like right there, they kind of bailed out, jumped out of the ship right there. Possess? Possess? Oh, yeah, possess. Hallelujah. Now, see, we got room in our theology for demon possessed. We got room in our mindset for demon possessed. We see it on television all the time. We see people that are demon possessed all the time. The problem is we don't see a whole lot of Holy Ghost possessed people. How many would agree with me? Jesus was Holy Ghost possessed. Hallelujah! Woo! He wants to possess you. He wants to own everything about you. And you know the good thing is, I want Him to own everything about me. I want Him to possess me. I want to be totally under His control. I want to be led by Him, directed by Him, guided by Him, instructed by Him, empowered by Him, helped by Him. I want to be Holy Ghost possessed. Oh, yeah. Now watch. I'm trying to bring this to a close. I believe this story I'm going to share with you illustrates this better than anything probably I could say. First scripture I read to you, we find in Judges chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Tells how Samson caught 300 foxes and he took them and tied them together in pairs and he put a fire brand between their tails. So you got 150 pairs of foxes with fire between their tails. I don't think that we could argue the point that these foxes were motivated. And I'm certain that as these foxes began to run, that the fire did not simply give off a pleasant glow as they were running through the Philistines' fields. The fact is, these foxes were on fire. Let me go further. These foxes were changed by the fire. They would never be the same again. Because these foxes were not just comfortable, they were consumed by the fire. When the fire hit the fur, these foxes had a mission. Their mission was
Their mission was, go into all the world and spread this fire.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They didn't have any board meeting. They didn't discuss demographics. They just had the fire. And they were motivated to go. And they went. And everywhere they went, they carried the fire. Oh, I hope you're getting on board. I said, everywhere they went, they carried the fire. He sent them loose into the cornfields, and they burned up the cornfields. But the fire was still burning. So they ran over to the vineyards, and they burned up the vineyards. Oh, the fire was still burning. And so they ran over to the olive orchards, and they burned up the olive orchards. Everywhere they went, they carried the fire, and everything they touched caught fire. If there ever was a time when the church needed fresh fire, it's today.
Today, yeah.
If there ever was a time where we needed the fire of God in our lives, it's today. I'm telling you, my friends, stand with me, please, all over this building. I'm telling you, friends, philosophy and theology is not going to get it done. All the psychology will not get it done. We need power. We need power. We need the fire of God. And we don't just need the fire of God to fall down and touch us. We need the fire of God to flow out of us. We need the fire of God to consume us. I'm telling you, God laid this so heavy on my heart. He said, so many of my people today, they're just looking for a comfortable place. They're just looking for somebody that will make them as comfortable as they can possibly make them until I take them home. Make them as comfortable as they can. Teach them how to prosper. Teach them how to have money. Teach them how to have success. Teach them how to have influence with people. Teach them how to have their best life now. They're just looking for people. Just make them comfortable. But they're not looking to be consumed. But I came to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, God is more concerned about you being consumed than He is about you being comfortable. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be blessed. But God's main concern is that He consume you.
Yes.
And He consume me. Yes. That the fire of God will so consume us and so burn in us that anything and everything we touch catches fire. Yes. That everywhere you go, you carry the fire with you. This is what we are. This is what God has made us. This is what God has ordained for us to be, a revival center, a church where the fire of God burns, where people can come in. Yes, we want to build a church. Yes, we want to grow a church. Yes, we want members. Yes, we want people that are strong, established in the faith. They're part of this body. But we want to be a place where the fire of God burns, where people that can come in, where they've lost their fire, people that come in that are discouraged and downcast and downtrodden, they can come in where the fire of God is burning, and they can get set on fire, and they can go out of this place again with the anointing of God on their life, with the fire of God in their souls, and they can go back to where they came from, and they'll carry the fire with them, and they'll set a fire there, and they'll set a fire over here, and everywhere we go we'll start fires, because we're consumed by the fire. It's more than about being comfortable, friend. It's about being consumed. Come on, lift your hand. Come on, lift your hand if you want God to consume you today. I want you to lift your hand and say, God, I want it. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life. I want you to consume me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, fresh fire, God. Fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. Fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. Burn us up, God. Consume us, God. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, fall on us, burn in us, God. Consume us, God. We're not satisfied, Lord. I want you to take another step. God is raising up an army in this last day. I believe with all of my heart that He's raising up an army in this last day. And I read in the book of Joel, it says that they will go forth, and when they go forth, it says that the field behind them will be nothing but smoke and burning, because they're an army of fire. How many want to be an army of fire? I want you to come on, join me in the presence of the Spirit. You say, I want to be a part of that army of fire. I want to be a part of that army of fire. Just get as close as you can. Just get as close as you can and tell God, I want to be a part of that army of fire. I believe God is igniting fires today. I believe God is rekindling fires today. I believe God is going to pour some gasoline on somebody's fire today. Somebody has had a fire that's just about to go out, but today you're getting ignited. Oh, hallelujah. Today you're going to get a fresh unction of the Holy Ghost. You're going to get a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. You're going to get a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and power. Oh! God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost come fresh, a fresh power, a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and power. Let it come now, God. Let it come now, God. A consuming fire, God. Not just a blessing, not just a touch, Lord, but a consuming fire. I want more, God. Consume me, God. My body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Everything about me, God, consume me today. I want to be a part of that army. Oh, I want to be a part of that last day army, God. On fire for you, God. Burning with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. A consuming fire. A consuming fire. A consuming. Oh, God, I want to be a part of that consuming. Oh, God, fresh anointing, fresh we want to burn with the fire of your presence. We want to burn with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We want to burn, God. We want to be live wires, God. Everywhere we go, Lord, we want to carry this fire. We want to carry this anointing, God. Hallelujah. I want you to take hands. Just take hands with someone next to you. I want you to take hands. You know what? The Lord brought you here today to ignite you. The Lord brought you here today to ignite you, to set a fire in you, to set a fire in you, to kindle a fire in you, to renew a fire in you, to pour gasoline on fire in you, so that when you leave this place today, you're leaving with a fresh anointing. Oh. Yes. Consuming fire of God will come upon them. Pray for them now. Father, consuming fire. Consuming fire, God. Begin to burn in my brother, God. Burn in his life, Lord, like never before, God. Consume him, Lord God, like never before, God. Make him one of those foxes on fire, God. Make him one of that mighty army, God. We're soldiers in the army of God. God, set us on fire, everyone, God. Every hand that I'm holding, God. Every person that we're holding hands with, God. Let a fresh unction of the power of God, let a fresh unction of the Holy Ghost and power come upon them now, flow through them now. God, let them shine, baptize them now. Refresh, pull, fresh anointing, fresh fire, fresh baptism. baptism of the Holy Ghost and power of God. Come upon them now, God, and ignite them, Lord God. Ignite them, O God. God, that everything we touch catches fire. That every place we go, we carry the fire, God. Oh, God, that will burn up the works of the devil. That will burn up the Philistines' corn. We'll burn up the Philistines' olives. We'll burn up the Philistines' orchards. Oh, we'll burn up their vineyards, God. Oh, because of the fire. That fire will burn sickness out of your body. That fire will burn disease out of your body. That fire will burn out in the name of Jesus. That of us, son of us, son, that fire will burn lust out. That fire will burn drugs out. It'll burn nicotine out. It'll burn alcohol out. It'll burn it out. Everything that's not like you, God, consume you, fire. Burn out.
We love your word. For your word is so
good.
Hearken unto the word. Hearken unto this word my servant has given me. Hearken unto him. This is the fire that you need.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
This is the fire to live this life. Yes, Lord this is the fire to come. This is the fire for the word of God to go through.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Fire.
Fire. Fire.
Yes,
God.
Yes, God.
Save people.
Yes, God. See, friends, that's what it's about. It's about the fire that will save people, the fire that will deliver people, the fire that will set them free. Fire that will destroy every bondage, every hindrance. It will make us witnesses. Lord Jesus Christ,
keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive.
Sing it again.
It's the Holy Ghost in fire. Keep it.